Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for giving me James. I've been buried in Paul for the last 4 or 5 months, so, and they write a few essays on the Apostle Paul, so that would have been easy, but you know, I have to come out of that to James. Can I confess something now? Is that okay? Public confession is good, isn't it? The Bible tells us to confess stuff. You know, I'm not a great fan of James. He doesn't mind. He's blessed me, actually. James has blessed me. When I was a young man, God really convicted me one night when I came back after a night out and sat down to read the Bible before going to sleep. My reading was James chapter 3, and it was about taming of the tongue. And I just felt so convicted about the way I'd used my tongue that night that I was determined not to use it in that way afterwards. It really changed me. Really changed me. But I guess a bit like Martin Luther, you know, the guy who started the Reformation, he actually said he didn't like James either. He said he thought it was the gospel of straw. Honestly, he wanted to burn it. He didn't want it in the Bible. You know, because he was so sold out on the grace of God and on God's favor coming to us through faith in Christ alone and not by any kind of works. Whereas James, the emphasis on James is quite a lot on actually holiness, on living out this faith and doing good things, looking after orphans and widows and whatever else. It's a good book, but from a slightly different angle. Anyway, so let me get on with my message this morning in the Knowing Jesus series. It's a tale of two envies. I thank Kerry for that title. I told her what I was going to talk, and she said, "Oh, a tale of two envies. That's a good title." And it is. It's a tale of two envies. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to James chapter 3. We'll read a bit of scripture together, which is always fun. So, I'm going to start reading from verse 13 and go down to chapter 4, verse 6, 7. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct his works, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Any wars going on this morning? No, maybe not. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war that you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Move closer and closer to God. He will move close to you. Okay, going to burst that into song now, aren't we? Poison envy. Well, maybe not. Poison ivy. Sorry. I am terrible. I am very terrible. You've only just realised. No, I am terrible. Poison envy. The first envy I want to look at is poisonous envy. It's an envy which is self-centred. It's an envy which wants to attract things to myself. It's an envy which is looking for pleasure. It's looking to fill itself with objects and position. It's got selfish ambition is one of the phrases that it uses there. poisonous envy. This is the kind of envy which is basically not satisfied. This is the kind of envy which says, I need more. I need something else if I'm going to be content. This is the kind of envy which leaves us feeling miserable at the end of the day. So what are its sources? That's not Paul West looking for birds. What are its sources? Well, first of all, I guess it says that this kind of envy is natural. It's kind of earthly. It's kind of demonic. It's of the flesh. So it springs from our kind of desires. And, you know, that demonic's a strange word. We don't use it at all in our culture much. And in that culture, they used to personify feelings. So, the god of war, the god of love, or the goddess of love often. They used to deify feelings. And they used to deify desire as well, mammon, that god of wealth. So there's a sense in which it's demonic, this envy, this lust. It's fueled by an emotion which, when it goes awry, ruins us. It's poisonous. You know, we don't talk about the demonic much. Just as a little aside, you know, I hope you guys aren't afraid of the demonic. You know, if you've been in River for any length of time, you won't be, I'm sure. But honestly, it's nothing to be afraid of. I've encountered it many times, both in England and in Nepal, haven't we, just last year, together with the Ottens. But, you know, we have authority over it, is the thing. As children of God, we have authority. So when a young lady was brought to me who hadn't slept for 9 months because she'd been woken up every night by a spirit, animal noises, snuffling in her ear. I thought that sounded like a demonic attack on that person, unable to sleep. For 9 months, ruins your life. And I just said to her that the good news is, the bad news is that's an unclean spirit. The good news is that God has given us authority over it. Simple as that. So I said, can I pray for you? She said, yes, I'm desperate. So she's not a Christian, but I pray for her just in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit and command it to leave. And she feels different immediately, but she says, can we go home to her house? Because she wants me to pray there as well. And when we get there, the house has changed. So she already knows something's happened. And that night she sleeps for the first time in 9 months. You know, but that, I tell that, some of you may have heard that story before, but I tell you this story because that's just a simple demonstration that God's given us authority. We don't need lots of shouting, lots of screaming, lots of demonstration. God has simply given us a powerful authority over the demonic. And that includes envy. That's that feeling of lust when it gets out of control in us. God has given us a power over it. If you're struggling with lust at all this morning, and as a young man I did, let me tell you, God has given us authority over it. Where else does it spring from? It springs from, as I say, wanting to please our desires, bodily desires, yes, satisfying satisfaction, searching for pleasure, it says. You want to spend it on your pleasures, is what James says. Yeah, looking to satisfy your body. And the key is to avoid this first poisonous envy is to know where it comes from. And you know, where it comes from is what we're looking at. So the question I could have asked that entitled the talk this morning is, what are you looking at? In other words, what do you spend your time thinking about? What are you filling your mind with? Because whatever you fill your eyes with, you fill your mind with. What are we thinking about? What's filling? When we're sitting at home having a cup of tea or a glass of juice or water, whatever, looking at what are we seeing? What are we imagining? When we think about the future, what are we imagining the future to be like? When we're thinking about what we want now, what we need now, what we'd really like to happen now, what are we thinking? What comes to mind? Those are the things that we are looking at. And if we're filling our minds with what others have got and that we haven't, it's poisonous. When we fill our minds with where others are and where we want to be, it's poisonous. Honestly, guys, we have a terrible thing going on at the moment with pornography in our culture. And all the stats on the internet are frightening, horrific, absolutely horrific, because people are looking, again, in the wrong place to find pleasure. And as I was preparing this talk, just as I was writing about this little bit, God said to me that there's a grace this morning for someone to walk free from pornography. So just, I don't want to rush on from that. I just want us, I'm not like a big thing, I just want us to close our eyes. Just close our eyes. And if you know that pornography is something that you struggle with, if you know that this is an area where you've been looking at things you should not have been looking at, then there's a grace this morning to walk away from it. And we know how hard these habits can be to change once we walk into them and they become part of what we do on a regular basis. But there's a grace this morning. God breaks into our lives with supernatural graces. And there's a grace this morning to walk away. There's a grace for the guilt to go, for the shame to be washed away, for a fresh start. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for the freedom you're bringing right now. Amen. Amen. You know, and often God works slowly in our lives. You know, often it's a gradual thing, but sometimes it's dramatic. Something happens dramatically. When I first encountered Christ, when I first prayed to Christ, I wasn't even sure if he was there. I was praying. I said, if you're there, if you're there, come into my life. But the thing is, the next day I woke up and I felt completely different. The world looked different because God comes when we ask him, and he can sometimes do incredible fast change. There's a fast change coming for those that have really prayed in that quiet space a moment ago for your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. So what are you looking at? That's a good question. You know, it's what Jesus says, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, it says, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust come in and destroy, but store up treasures in heaven. It says, the eye, and he goes on to say this weird thing that the eye, be careful what you look at. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is dark, the whole body is full of darkness. He was basically saying the same thing. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you desire. Be careful what you want. Because that will affect who you become. David learned that lesson, didn't he? King David, way back when his troops were out to war and he was taking it a bit easy up on his roof. What did he look at? Bathsheba. Yeah, a beautiful lady. And the thing was, she got undressed on the rooftop a few houses down, and he looked again. And he kept on looking till his heart was so full of lust that it led him to adultery and murder. What we look at does affect us. This is a serious thing. So let's choose to look at healthy things. And you know, this envy is fueled by pride. You know, I want more, I need more. It's that self-centeredness. Boasting, it says, don't boast. It's fueled by pride. And that's a picture of my desk this morning. I wanted a picture of clutter, and I was looking at the internet. There's some great pictures of clutter on the internet, but I thought I'd take one of my desk, because my desk was very cluttered, having been studying for the past few days, and piles of books everywhere, and even some fruit there, look, and a little R2-D2, whatever. But it's just packed with stuff. This poison envy can lead to bitterness. I've already said that. It eats away at our soul with this envy. But it also leads to confusion. It leads to confusion in our thinking, but it also leads to confusion in our homes as we amass stuff. We live in an epidemic, don't we, in our world of stuff. It's a tidal wave of stuff. My wife is continually battling with the stuff in our home. I don't know what happens. It's stuff magically appears, and we have to get rid of it by the bin load. You know, literally every week our bins are full. Every week. Where's it all come from? Stuff. And she goes through the kids' bedrooms once every couple of weeks and takes bin loads of stuff out. And yet they're never empty. Where's this stuff coming from? We have just too much stuff in our culture. And, you know, it's good to see there's quite a rising movement of people wanting to simplify their lives and get rid of stuff, because our real happiness doesn't come from filling our lives with stuff. This is all part of that first envy. It's not very pretty, is it? But we all need to fight against it. Cut stuff out of our lives that we don't need. I'm glad that we're encouraging us to get our own cups rather than using one-off cups. But that's a small thing, but there are lots of things we can do to look after this world. Because when James says, when he's talking about friendliness with the world, he's not talking about looking after creation. That's a good thing. Poison envy leads to us quarrelling too as we fight over who's going to have what. Okay, enough on that. Poison envy, it's not very good. Oh, it's not quite enough on that. That's just one example of the things that wind me up. McDonald's toys. That's where some of the stuff comes from in my home. Something rages in me every time they give us one in a Happy Meal. I actually get raged about it. This is rubbish! We've wasted our time and resources on making this stuff! Sorry, you can tell I'm a bit passionate about that. It's only a toy. No! They're useless. They're not a good fit for man and the beast. Sorry. Sorry. I can air my dirty linen in public, can't I? It's a funny tip of the iceberg, but you know what I'm getting at. There's just too much stuff, and it comes about because of our envy. We want to fill our lives with stuff to get happiness, but happiness does not consist of the stuff that we have. Happiness consists somewhere totally elsewhere, and that's when we move on to. That's not what we move on to. I just want to say a couple of things that I find helpful in getting rid of stuff. If you want, actually, there's a Graham Hill did a great little 5-minute TED talk on decluttering your life, worth going to listen to or watch on YouTube. Graham Hill. Also, I like camping. Camping's great because actually when you go away camping, your whole life is simplified. You've got less stuff because you can't fit it in the tent. It takes a lot longer to make a cup of tea. And actually, you're just surrounded by beautiful creation often. You know, it's a fantastic place to be, to slow down, to declutter for a few days. Camping is fantastic. Of course, you've got to get some clutter first before you can go and declutter. But, you know, there's a downside. So, honestly, it works amazing for us as a family. No screens. Fantastic. Declutter. Because our houses are not the only things that are cluttered. Our minds are cluttered. So let's get rid of a bit of clutter. Get away. We went to wildfires, didn't we? That was a fantastic time. Camping. Some of us. Anyway, some of us didn't camp, Kerry. Not mentioning any names. But we'll next year. Who said there's God's not a God of miracles? He's very much alive and transforming us from glory to glory. And mud to mud. Yeah, sadly. There was quite a lot of mud last week. But it was fantastic time, wildfires. If you didn't go this year, I thoroughly recommend it, guys. Honestly, the level of teaching and ministry and worship was phenomenal. And to be away with families, and I mean by families, tribes, our tribes, to be away with our tribes who really are running with the Holy Spirit and who have done incredible things all over this nation. Honestly, it's fantastic. Good for the soul. Make it a priority for next year. May the 27th to 29th. Stick it in your diary now. Get the early bird discount. Book on now. Don't wait to see if I won't feel like it next year. Book on. Let's go away as a family together because that's going to be fun. And it's going to help declutter our minds and our eyes. You know, it's one of the reasons we loved going to Nepal as a family. If you want to declutter well, move out of the country for a couple of years, eh, Poe, Sarah? Because that forces you to empty your home. We had to rent it out. We had to completely declutter. Of course, we put a lot of it in storage. That's the modern disease. We've got so much stuff. Companies have lockups now. We can store extra stuff. God preserve us. So anyway, let's move on from that. But Nepal was fantastic. We decluttered. And we had much less stuff. Many less friends. Many less things. Many less lots of things. But that was a special year in our lives. God did incredible things. So much joy flowed to us in that year. Amazing. A bit of decluttering. So get away. Not literally. Don't all go. Otherwise, Kerry and I would be very lonely. But considering all the effects of this first type of envy, it's no wonder that God included do not envy as part of the first soundbite, you know, on the Ten Commandments. The last one, do not covet. He was thinking of us. He didn't want us to live cluttered lives, cluttered heads, cluttered rooms, cluttered houses. Anyway, there's another type of envy, which is good news. Have I depressed everybody so far, you know? Because there's another type, there's a heavenly envy. This type of envy is other-centered. It's jealous for the company, for time with someone else. And even God is jealous, it says, for us. Isn't that incredible? If you don't think I'm being a bit heretical when I'm saying that, you probably haven't got the force of it. James says, God lusts after us. He actually is jealous for us. I mean, that verse is really hard to translate in the Greek. It says, do you think that scripture speaks in vain? The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. God's spirit is jealous for us. He wants to be with you. The reason he made you was to share fellowship with you, to enjoy life with you. He's mad about you. We sang it this morning. Honestly, fantastic worship this morning. Guys, you guys are amazing. I really, really loved it. I can't wait to get back into some more in a minute. But one of the songs we sang, wasn't it, was about his desire is for us. That's the truth. He desires you. Turn to your neighbor now and just look him in the eye and say, God desires you. Thank you. God desires you. That is amazing. Because the enemy was always trying to squish us down. The enemy's always pointing out our bad things. He's always pointing out how useless we are, how bad we are at stuff. And we feel rubbish about ourselves. But the truth is, God loves you. The truth is, God's mad about you. The truth is, God wants to be with you. And me, even. That's incredible news. And when someone loves you and they want to be with you and they want to hang out with you, doesn't it make you feel good? If a friend calls and says, can we go for coffee? Can we play a round of golf? Can we go and watch a film? Can we have dinner? It's fantastic news, isn't it? Fantastic news. But God is like that with us. He wants to hang out with us. Never let the enemy persuade you that God is not wanting to be with you, that he's fed up with you. He knows we're weak. And God is kinder than we think. I love, who was it Sarah that said that this morning? God is kinder than we think. Honestly, religion's been terrible quite often, portraying this angry God. Yeah, but the Bible's very clear. God is slow to anger, abounding in goodness and kindness and mercy. And yet we've turned it on its head so often with religion. God preserve us. God is he's kinder than we think. He's kinder than we think. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. We're grafted in when we trust him. Grafted into his kindness, it says in Romans. But that's Paul, you know, so I won't go there. Otherwise, I'll get into my essay. So this envy seeks relationship. God is seeking relationship. And, you know, and again, it's about what we're looking for. What are we looking for? Are we wanting a relationship? You know, because we can seek relationship with God, you know. We can say it. That's one thing. But we can actually seek it. Actively, proactively, that's another. And we all know it. I'm not going to tell you anything bright. I wish I could come up and say, I've got something new now. To say, this is how you seek God. It's going to change your life. Well, it will change your life, but it's something old. It's something we all know exactly how to do it. It's taking a few moments out to quietly sit with our God. To actively enter into his presence. And whether that's through reading the Bible, whether that's through praying, whether that's through worship, which we're going to do in a moment, whether that's through just being aware that he's there and he loves you. Sitting, contemplating his love for you. Whatever it is, taking moments out of our busy lives, out of our crowded, cluttered lives, just to be with him is the source of happiness and well-being. Let me tell you, But as a young man, I didn't grow up a Christian. And I told you about praying to God and him coming into my life. At that time, I was hungry and I sought God. Every day I would read the Bible. Every day. That was the way it worked for me. I would just find a space to sit and have a cup of tea often and just read something. And God would speak to me often through the Bible, or he wouldn't, but I would do it anyway. And the fruit of that is I got to know God. I got to know God. Because the Bible helps me understand who God is. But, you know, you find the way that works for you. I recommend reading the Bible. And we all know how difficult it is to get down to it. But really, a few minutes a day, we could all do that. Let's desire. Let's envy after that relationship with God. Let's be jealous for friendship with God, because he's jealous for our friendship. He's never going to turn you away. He will come running down the road to meet you in that, guys. I promise you. I guarantee it. I'm not just saying this. This is not just some clever or actually old bit of... This is reality for me. This is truth. This is living bread for you to feed on this morning. If you really, really take this to heart and actually decide just to commit to spending a little bit more time in the presence of your God rather than in front of your phone or your TV or with your friend. If you just do something, I guarantee the fruit will be amazing. So what are you looking for? Did I mention come to wildfires next year? That was taken at wildfires, that picture, last week. Yeah, it's just one way of seeking God. There are loads. But you've got to find the ways that work for you. And God is going to meet you in it. And don't think about the ways you failed in the past, but build from today. Forget what's past, Paul says. I push on. Let's just push on again today, shall we? There's a grace for us to push on again today, whether we've been doing it 50 years, 60 years already, some of us, or whether we've just starting out, doesn't matter. There's a grace to push on and get to know our God and to fall in love again. Because there's no end of his love. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that. And the fruit of this heavenly envy is peace. It says that in this little passage we've just been reading out. The fruit of it is peace, it's purity, it's gentleness, it's mercy, it's kindness. What do those things remind you of? They're fruits of the Spirit, absolutely. They are fruits of the Holy Spirit. Of course they are, because when you hang out with the Holy Spirit, you end up becoming a bit like him. And he's full of this stuff. But also, hopefully it reminds you of Moses in Exodus chapter 33, 34, when Moses says, show me your glory, God. And God says, okay, I'll let all my goodness pass before you. And God describes himself, his character, and he describes these character qualities. It's the glory of God. You know, it's a religious word, glory. We often think, why is it talking about glory? But this is the glory of God. And the glory of God is produced in us. We come to reflect the glory of God the more we hang out with him. It's fantastic. I love hanging out with people that reflect the glory of God. You know, I like going to pray with Rob, my mate there. He reflects the glory of God. And when I've been with Rob, I reflect more of the glory of God. But let's spend time with Jesus. And the fruit of it is the glory of God. Godly character. And, you know, this God is not into religion. He doesn't do it for his own sake. This is for our sakes, so that our lives are full of joy and peace and kindness and mercy. He's already got a superabundance of it for himself. This is for us, not for him. And it's not all super spiritual. You see, he knows what we need. And he wants to give it to us. James makes that point. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. You try and grab it for yourself. But actually, God's wanting to give it to you. Keep the bucket. God's wanting to give it to us. God is generous. Again and again and again, he's generous. And yet we try and grab it for ourselves. Just like in the Garden of Eden, we wanted to grab being like God. And God was already made us like him and was wanting to help us grow up. We tried to grab it and we spoiled everything. We still do the same today. We're no different. But let's go to him and ask him. And I tell you guys, this is the wonder of life. The moment we have a relationship with God where we're really, really dependent on him, he does incredible things. That's when we start to see breakthroughs in healing. That's when we start to see deliverances and the demonic flee. And that's when we start to see people get saved. And that's when we start to see answers to prayer. Incredible, incredible things happen when people ask God to do stuff. And I'm talking to people that already do it, I know, but I just want to encourage you to do more. I want to encourage myself to do more. You know, my wife is amazing. You know, Sadie, she's an incredible, incredible beautiful lady. And but she inspires me in so many ways. But she inspired me a couple of years ago because she did this. You know, Rachel was going to university, and I was worried how we were going to just keep the house going because the house was falling apart. And I could notice, I could see no way forward apart from going into debt, taking out a loan. And I was just really, really struggling to see how things would work out for us financially. And Sadie went to God. And she said, God, I really want to support Rachel through university. Will you help me? And honestly, God's done wonders in that area for us in the last few years. And we've been able to support Rachel, not totally, but we've been able to give her £6,000 a year to support her through. But that's just, isn't that amazing? And we've not done any debt for that. In fact, the money's increased, not decreased. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. God does amazing things when we ask. And he's generous towards you this morning. I want to encourage you. Spend time with Jesus. Hang out with him. And yeah, tell him what you want and what you need. Don't ask that you can spend on your own pleasures. That's what he says. He warns us. Don't expect to receive if you're going to ask just for selfish kind of motives. That's never going to work. But the things that we need, the things that are godly, he's going to give to us. Honestly. And that's the most exciting way to live. Dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus, where he does incredible things. Not because we've earned them, not because we're special, but because he loves us. And that's true of every man, woman, and child. We have the best news, don't we? We do. We have the best wonderful news, the most beautiful way of seeing the world, the most beautiful God. We just need our eyes open. Steve, you had something that I want you to share. This was really powerful. And we're going into some worship. Because I just want to say that God wants to transform the way we see things. And it's going to help us to move in this second kind of heavenly envy that we've been talking about, where God becomes more alive to us. And, we're going to go into some worship now, guys. But this is the grace that's available to us this morning. God wants to give us a brand new way of looking at things. And that excites me. I want to have a fresh revelation of the love of God. I want a transformation from glory to glory in me this morning. It's available to us. So let's worship Jesus now together. Let's fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's choose to look on Jesus this morning and know that that's the source of our transformation. He is the source of our transformation.